welcome to Sailing Beyond Knowledge, our first episode of 2012. And I'm your host, Carlita, and this is episode 48. I'm going to present to you a conversation with three different cancer cure scientists, investigators, practicing doctors, medics, here having a discussion with Jose Escamilla for a project working on giving this information to the general public. Its suitability, sensitivity, and the kind of experiences that these doctors have had because they have cures for cancer. Experiences from the repression of the government, of the FDA, and generally quite shocking stories to be told. So I hope that this information is going to be an eye-opener to some people and bring hope to those who have lost friends, families, and relatives to cancer. I myself, this New Year's Eve, lost a close friend to cancer unnecessarily. We buried him on New Year's Day. And if he had been able to access the medicines and the treatments that are available from these doctors you're going to be here speaking today, he would still be alive. But he came from a family of traditional doctors, and they were pressuring him so hard that he gave in and had chemotherapy, and the chemo is pretty much what helped kill him. So this is an episode dedicated to my dear friend Patricio, who has done a lot for me while I've been here in Ecuador, and may he be at peace now. But this information is very important for people who are interested in cures for cancer. And we will be doing some work from this project to help support these people. But at the moment, because of the time and situation with the pharmaceutical industry, it's very sensitive for some of these people speaking, and therefore I've had to respect their wishes to be anonymous and cut out names, so there are pauses where names were spoken. And the only person that is able to be transparent is Greg Caton, because of his case and a recent kidnapping by the Food and Drug Administration, illegal kidnapping. So he is willing to come out and express his story. Perhaps this will pave the way for other doctors who have cancer cures and cures for Alzheimer's and cures for heart disease. So welcome back to Sailing Beyond Knowledge. And here is the talk with Jose Escamilla and the three cancer cure doctors.
Carlita, thank you again, and I will talk to you soon. I urge all your listeners to keep tuning in to Sailing Beyond Knowledge Radio.
Jose?
Me?
Yeah, this is...
How are you?
I'm fine.
And this is Greg Caton.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good, good.
Good to meet you.
Mucho gusto.
And this is...
How are you?
Howdy, howdy.
Yes, I'm really, I'm very excited about this project. The work you guys have done, you know, to find a cure for this, just amazing. And it brings the focus, the attention to, you know, to the cancer. I mean... I've been thinking about it ever since I spoke with Carlita about it, and it's, I'm really excited about doing this one, and I think we can get it going pretty quick, you know?
I'm familiar, kept me abreast of your work, so I'm familiar with your work, I've just come into some, I'm 22 years and more pretty much scientific investigation and medical research. But one of the things that has just arisen is a couple of my medical doctors have informed me that there's a new era in medicine is coming in terms of treating cancer, and it's the washing of the white cells. It's the, actually taking the white blood cells, washing them, and putting them back in the body, because it's the contamination of the white cells is why the body's not able to fight off cancer. Instead of looking for the answer outside the body, or like trying to find medicines and drugs and herbs and all sorts of complex chemistries to fight cancer, that the answer was always inside the body the whole time. And it's the body fights off millions of cancer cells every day, and it's like, why don't we approach medicine, and look at why the body's not able to do that anymore? Well, we found by washing the white cells, and we actually program them, load them with frequency, and put them back in, the cancer, we shoot them back in, and it just destroys the cancer, which is what nature intended. And guess what? It just requires your own blood, so the medicine is within you. It's not in the jungle. It's not this, that. It's not that or the other. It's inside of you. And then you got the white, you got the red cells on the other side to do all the repair. So whatever damage, scar tissue, or whatever damage the cancer has done, then you take the red cells, separate out the stem cells, grow them out, and shoot them back in and repair the damage. And so you're literally got a patient in and out of the hospital in a matter of weeks, with stage 4 cancer with days to live. And that's what we've seen. But the problem with that is really a big problem. You think finding the cure, or at least the direction of the area that we need to pursue for the future of cancer research, they're not going to be happy about this at all. The $1 billion a day industry is not going to be happy about this, because it requires nothing but the patient's blood.
As a matter of credibility, I think that's important.
Names, right? These are people that they didn't give me permission.
When I
get permission,
it's an improvement.
I wasn't even sure I was going to tell you this, but I'll tell you this. So this is what I'm telling. I'm just an investigator, and I work with these doctors, and these are not just, let's just say, these are very, very well world renowned, famous in their fields. These are not just goofs. These are guys. 85-year-old doctor has been in medical research for 40 years. Another guy's been 25-year research. And and so these guys are basically they've been rated by the FDA one time or another for treating cancer and curing cancer, whether it be through aloe extracts and things that were not unapproved, just because they were real doctors and they were trying to cure people, not just make money and practice medicine. So what I'm here to just tell you is that, hey, there is a new era of medicine coming, but it's not here yet. And what I was coming to Ecuador for was to try to introduce this new medicine, because I have the formula, the protocol to begin, but I wanted to make it a very slow, methodical approach. I've gone fast in everything I've ever done, and I eventually get there, but it's always a crude aftermath that I have to go back and clean up. This is something I don't feel like that's the right way to approach this. It's very, very important that we take a slow, methodical approach. Anyway, that's what I bring to the table. I didn't mean to hog the conversation. But
Greg, do you want
to? Well, that's very interesting.
My situation is documented to the nth degree. I don't know if you're familiar with I have an online work called Metatopia, metatopia.org. And even the first reading of the first two chapters gives a very compelling presentation of my work. My position is that a very effective cure for cancer was discovered in 1858. It's been suppressed by the powers that be for 150 years. And the smoking gun I was able to locate in nothing less than the United States Patent Office, because the same formula with only slight variations has popped up not less than 6 or 7 times since 1858. Imagine that, over 150 years. And quite besides that, over the last 20 years, I've dealt with many, many doctors in their 70s and 80s, and many of them say, look, we've known about this. when I was a young physician 50 years ago, I had an old man tell me about it. So it's like an herbal folklore that keeps being suppressed and then keeps kind of coming to the fray because of the fact that it works so damn well. But if you were to take a look at Metatopia, I really need to explain very little because my position is out there, and as a result of my kidnapping by the U.S. authorities, I now have a biography in Wikipedia that kind of tells that even though it's a hatchet job, it kind of describes a little bit about my work and what I'm about.
Yeah, that was amazing when I heard that they arrested you and all that. Now, that's bullshit, man.
Oh, it's amazing. I was on the Interpol red list up there with Osama bin Laden in the February 8th, 2009 issue of Parade magazine, one of the world's most wanted criminals for probation violation. It's like one step removed from kidnapping people because 10 years ago you forgot to pay a $15 parking ticket. It's getting that absurd, really.
Yeah, that's getting nuts. Pretty crazy. Well, that's very interesting. And has that formula, has anybody recreated that formula?
I ship it all over the world. We still have clients around the world.
Hmm.
The information about it, of history, is on altcancer.net.
Okay.
So I've got lots and lots of materials out there to justify my position, provide a lot of annotations and bibliographical support for what we do.
Okay.
And so there's
patient testimonials.
Oh.
Patient testimonials.
It'll take you hundreds of a lot of hours to read all the testimonials in line. Really, I also have a friend who's a medical doctor, Dr. Alan Spring,
not in this particular area.
Wrote a book called Tomorrow's Cancer Cures Today.
This is a new era.
And one chapter of that book is just devoted to me. You could look it up online, but Dr. Alan Spring.
Dr. Alan?
Yeah, Tomorrow's... Well, here, as a matter of fact, you know what? Let me see. While I'm talking to you, that's the nice thing about Skype. I can actually shoot you a link.
Oh, yeah, cool.
That's why I like using Skype, for that very reason. Oh, here we go. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot this, and just look on the right-hand side. It says, Tomorrow's Cancer Cures Today by Dr. Alan Spring. Yeah, just take a quick look at it, and I'll shoot it to you. There you go. Just take a look at that. If you click on that, you'll see on the screen, on the right-hand side.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Tomorrow's Cancer Cures Today, and if you actually click on the picture itself, I don't know if the article comes up or the...
That's too bad about Brian O'Leary, by the way.
Yeah, I went to meet Meredith, actually. She's doing all right, considering.
Yeah.
That happened while I was away. I know that's... I was able to get rid of the cancer in his back. I wasn't here when he got this duodenal cancer, which is actually extremely rare. That's a picture of me with O'Leary and discussing his case. And
well, I'll definitely go over this after we get
you know, there's many years, but you can use this particular link as a starting point. I'm going to give you the link. Your starting point for the terms of testimonials and pictures are just voluminous. I mean, there's that.
Wow.
If you use that link right there, you can look at many, many cases. And there's a wide variety of different cases. Now, the majority that we deal with, of course, are skin cancer, because skin cancer just happens to be the most prevalent form of cancer.
Yeah.
There's more skin cancer than there is any. The skin is the largest organ of the body.
I'm looking at these cancer sores, man. Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
Yeah, it takes you hours, and there's lots of links there. It takes you hours to go through it. I mean,
I'll check it out. I'll check everything out. The white blood cells are the building blocks, basically, you know?
Well, and that's actually, I think what the doctors and thing with them, I think what they're actually doing is an improvement over IAT. Immune augmentative therapy, which is still to this day being done in Freeport. It's the work of Dr. Lawrence Burton. So actually, the basic idea, the framework that this is actually done by Lawrence Burton years ago, and it's being carried out in their clinic in Freeport. The success rate's not that impressive, and it's because I think it's a half-baked technology. I think it had the right idea. I don't think it took it far enough. And what they're doing by combining basically the IAT therapy concept with stem cell, their advances in stem cell research, I kind of think, just from what he described, now, mind you, you know, I can provide plenty of testimonies from my own work. I'd have to get together with some of his doctors to see the clinical work, because in our line of work, the proof of the pudding is in the curing. We don't have the money to play the same kind of psycho games that the pharmaceutical companies to have, where you go to the New England Journal of Medicine, you've got completely bogus studies, completely bogus clinical work, and you get your thing approved because basically you've got enough money to commit that kind of fraud and never have to pay for your sins. Those of us in the alternative community, we don't have that luxury. We've got to actually each and every day prove our mettle by consistently providing results. In the cancer business, providing results is curing people, and 5 years later they're still cured. If you can't do that, if you can't do that, then you're not doing any better than the pharmaceutical companies are. Yeah. Anyways, you probably want to talk to him, because this is the founder of Diagnostically. He's at the very cutting edge as far as, particularly as it relates to breast cancer, and he can tell you a little bit more about his work. So in the kind of framework that you're putting together with the people that you're talking to, both in terms of funding and production, they'll have a better idea of the kind of context you have down here. So I'm going to let him sit here and talk to you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Ben.
Doctor? Your turn. Basically, I'm a researcher also, but we're actually using a lot of technology on actual patients. And these patients come from the United States, Europe, Australia. I've had them from just about everywhere. Right now, across the board, we're hitting about a little more than 90% success, even on terminally ill, which is just phenomenal. It's hard for me to believe sometimes, but it's we're just getting more. We have so much freedom here in Ecuador to research that we're getting very close. I trained a major hospital in China, in Guangzhou, China. So it's an 800-bed hospital. I went there for 2 weeks and gave them 2 weeks of training on my technology, and they literally dumped chemotherapy because they just admitted it wasn't any good and they didn't want to use it anymore. So with my technology, I've proven that we know basically what is causing these cancers. And so now that we know the major cause, not all of them, but the major cause of most cancers, we're able to get a head on it and wipe it out. So we got some pretty high-tech equipment here in Ecuador. We also have just gotten information on an amino acid sequencing type product. It's very expensive. One of the major pharmaceutical companies have it, but they put it on the shelf because they don't want to cure cancer. They just got it there, and it's something like $100,000 a gram that they want for it. But luckily, we have access to it at a much cheaper price, and it's pretty phenomenal. It goes in and attacks the cancer, but it never stops. It doesn't just wear out like a chemotherapy and a lot of other drugs that we've used. It's a type of a product that renews itself. It just goes in, kills, comes out, goes back in, kills, and kills. We used it the first time on a lady from a 35-year-old lady. She has 10 children, 35 years old. She had precancer started with female type. All the female organs were just loaded with cancer, cervical cancer. She had her cervix probably the size of a grapefruit. And she came to Ecuador, and we used this on her. At the end of the month, we didn't see any results.
Wow. So,
but when she went home, we didn't give her any more of this medicine. And all of a sudden, the tumor started shrinking. It's down the size of a golf ball, last I heard last week. And so this woman should have died a long time ago. So in her case, it wasn't the traditional reason for having cancer, which is basically oral pathology. She lives out west in a creosote log house, if you can believe that. And creosote is one of the most carcinogenic substances on the face of the earth, and they literally live in a railroad tie house. So this stuff, she was kind of an exception to the rule, but it seems to be working. She's come back alive, and it was kind of a delayed action. But we've got some phenomenal things happening. And with this and with this Chinese hospital behind us, we're probably less than 2 years in curing any kind of cancer in any stage.
Wow.
And the Chinese are so impressed by it. I mean, this guy, the owner of the hospital he's an architect, and he decided he wanted a pet project. He's making so much money in China. He built a $200 million hospital in China 20 years ago. It's a palace of a place, 800 beds, getting ready to add another 1,000. He's actually, because he's so impressed with the results they're getting. So his place is a researcher's dream. He's got everything you imagine. He bought all the equipment that I recommended. And he was American, actually. He went to the University of Utah way back for an architect's degree or something. And then the hospital was his little pet project. And he was so impressed with the hospital, he actually went back and went to medical school when he was 60 years old. And he's also a medical doctor now. So,
wow.
So anyway, between he and I and some of the others that's here, Greg and some of the others here, cancer's going to be, it's going to be history. If we can just get people to leave us alone, if we can keep these attacks away from us. And I've been attacked too. I've been threatened to attack. That's why I'm in Ecuador. So I try to be low profile, you know, keep my name. My name's not even on the website or anything. I try to be low, because I don't want to be kidnapped like Greg was. And I mean, it happened. The U.S. government goes to any expense of using our taxpayer money to do what they did to Greg. And it's, but will it ever stop? I don't know. I don't think we can stop it. I really don't. It's a system out of control.
Well, I wonder, making this documentary, do you think that's going to raise a lot of red flags?
Well, it could, but who's going to see it? It's like... who's the guy that went to Cuba and finally they attacked him, carried those people down to Cuba and got all that free medical care, and then went to France, free medical care, went to London. He had a great documentary, but it never got anywhere.
Yeah.
See,
well, what?
Yeah, well, you know, I've got on my website, we pretty well, what I say with breast cancer, because breast cancer is a no-brainer now. You come to Ecuador, we'll take care of your breast cancer. If it ever comes back, we'll treat you free. Okay, I don't care if you live to be 120, because it's so good. I've only had one or two come back because they had some very aggressive, very rare type. I got one coming back, in fact, for the third time. She's got a very rare type of cancer that we're trying to find the answers for. I think we're about there. We're going to try this new product on her. But if you go to my website, you'll see the tumor that she brought down here. She was crying getting off the plane thinking I was going to send her home. I said, woman, you don't know how much I love challenges. And, I mean, she had a cantaloupe-sized tumor on a very small, normal breast. So I think we're very close to a cure for all cancers, and just we got to do something to stop this Gestapo system from trying to destroy what we have. Greg's product that Greg's just talking to, I couldn't do without his product, especially when we have to deal with these real large breast tumors. We use it in a kind of an unusual way, but it works. And so between the guys that are here, the scientists that live here in Ecuador, and then the Chinese hospital, the difference between China and us is they want a cure. It costs their government a lot of money for this cancer, you know, because they're treating their Chinese people, and they're not just going to, you know, send them to have morphine to death. They just don't do that in China. It's a very advanced country, and they're very caring people. And so they're looking for a way to stop cancer. And what better country could we have right now than China? Because they've got all of our gold and they've got the wealth of the world now. So maybe that's an angle we haven't looked at. I don't know.
Yeah. Definitely, Greg, have to present. It's just something I've never heard of.
I'd rather stay off record right now. He just wanted to talk to you, but he doesn't want to be involved in the documentary right now because where he is and the scientists he's working with, it's too sensitive for him.
Well, we're all scared to death after what happened to Greg. I've been low profile. I get all the patients I need, more than I need sometimes, and it'd be a shame for them to come down here and pick me up like they did Greg, and they'll do that because they've already threatened me. They've threatened me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to bring that kind of heat down on you guys either. This is a fleeting thought. I just felt that something like this needed to be done. But the more I'm thinking about it, it's best maybe to stay low key until you guys actually make more headway where you're safe.
Well, right. you can still do a documentary with what we're trying to present. Just don't use our names and use the old grease face thing like they do on, 60 Minutes. If they don't want you to see what the person looks like, you just fuzz out their face, leave their name off. But again, how much impact that would have, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Rather than bring down heat on you guys too, they will find out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's that type of thing. But it's a fleeting thought, I'm not discouraged, don't get me wrong. I'm a filmmaker, man. When I set my mind to do something, I'll get it done. It's just that after speaking with you and hearing what happened with Greg and, especially you, it's best that maybe we just approach it a different way, Carlita.
Yeah, but it's good that everybody met you and you can have an insight into it because it's pretty important and it should really come out soon at some point and when the time's right,
Yeah, it's everybody. All about the timing and, I appreciate what you're saying and I agree with you. There's no necessary involvement at this point. I mean, you guys are still in the mid stages and I'd rather you guys just carry on low-key, like you're doing, and just, we'll come in when the time is right. It's all about timing anyway.
Yeah, I think with this, once we get to a certain stage there, nothing's going to stop us. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Because, at that point in time, we can jump in,
Then you can have
and really make the damage that needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely.
Raise those eyebrows, But for the meantime, I agree with everyone. You guys are fantastic what you're doing, and my hat's off to you, literally. I appreciate what you guys are doing. I mean, for the world, it's just amazing. Hasn't been done yet, but you guys are the ones that are pulling it together, and I appreciate that. So anything I can do, if you ever need anything, you let me know. I'm here.
You'll be the first to hear from us.
I appreciate it, And Carlita is just, God bless us with Carlita. She's a fabulous little lady, and then it's really been an honor meeting you guys, and please tell the other guys too that I'm with you guys 100%, and we'll just do it when the timing's right. That's all.
Okay, thank you very much.
For your current situation, if you say transparency is the best form of protection, then this could be probably.
This got me on Bard being Wikipedia.
Okay, right. Well, you speak to him. Let's just talk.
Hello. Okay. Here's an afterthought for you. There's a full investigation underway here concerning my kidnapping, and whether I like it or not, my case is going to be made very public very soon. The particulars of it, the facts of it, are already out there. But I understand how and feel, but my situation is entirely different. In other words, they're not public and they have the option of maintaining a certain degree of anonymity. In my case, I have no choice about it.
Okay.
And, I'm told that before it's all over with, some heads are going to roll over this, because a lot of both domestic and international laws were broken. For me to have an extradition hearing, I win my extradition hearing, the U.S. government doesn't like it and basically says, pardon my French, fuck the law, we do what we want to, we don't have to obey anybody's laws, we're going to kidnap you whether you won your extradition case or not. Well, this is what's out there. And not only that, but, you got this guy out there right now, Dr. Jonathan Emord, E-M-O-R-D. You know, this guy's basically a constitutional lawyer in the U.S. who represents people like Sandy Shaw and Dirk Dirksen and Dr. Julian Whitaker. I mean, the guy's got some top names that he's represented in court. And he's on Coast to Coast and Jeff Rentz Show and all these other top name, top talk shows, basically saying the FDA is nothing but it's a racketeering operation. What we have is the show is being run by a crime syndicate. Compared to me, I would think if they were going to take somebody out, they'd go for Jonathan Nimoy a lot quicker than they would me, because they've had me on the Interpol red list as a person who is a cancer quack, okay? They can't get away with that with Jonathan Emord. So, because of that, in my particular case, I actually feel that transparency is better than trying to hide in the driftwood.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm willing to work with you on your project. What we'll do, you know, the discoveries that have been made and how you got shafted, man. You know. We could definitely raise some ruckus.
Plus, I can machine gun your audience with enough documents to make them look like Swiss cheese. I mean, I've got support documentation. I got enough support documentation to choke a horse.
Well, that's great. You know, this might be something that we could submit to somebody like 60 Minutes, you know, or...
They're not going
to
do it. And I'll tell you why. Because the fact that... Let me give you an example of how corrupt it is. After I was kidnapped, my wife had some discussions with the producer of the Oprah Winfrey show. And the producer of the Oprah Winfrey show told my wife point blank, we've researched your project, we can't do this. We've got advertising clients. The pharmaceutical companies are among our top advertising clients. We can't afford to piss them off. At least, I'll give her this much credit, at least the producer of Oprah Winfrey had at least the
decency
to at least say why we can't do it. We can't do it because this is like back in the days when Johnny Carson had his talk show, and he cracked one joke about it was at a time when I think McDonald's reached 100 billion hamburger mark or some such thing. And Johnny Carson cracked a joke about, just think how many horses they've gone through, okay? It's a joke. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Well, they lost McDonald's as a client. McDonald's was, the executives were so offended by that, they lost
a
client.
Another person I could submit this to, and I just did a show with him, is Jesse Ventura.
Now, he'd cover it. Now, Jesse Ventura just had his 60th birthday party. In Los Angeles, and Alex Jones covered it, and what Jesse Ventura said is, I'm taking my wife, Terry, and we're going to Mexico because we know what comes next. It's so corrupt. He was bitching quite ardently about the fact that they did an episode on he's got a series now called Conspiracy Theory. It's on True TV. And federal agents called True TV and told the executives at True TV, if you ever run that episode again on the FEMA concentration camps, we will call the FAA, we will pull your license as a network. That's how sensitive it was to them.
I remember.
So if anyone would cover this, I have to tell you that what we do here is right up Jesse Ventura's alley. So I would say I think you're onto something.
I'll talk to Tyrell tomorrow. That's his son. Mm-hmm. We got along pretty famously when I did a show with them on reptilians, reptoids. Mm-hmm. And they put me in the show as a video analyst. We analyzed some of these reptilian videos that are out, you know?
Yeah.
And I produced a series called Out of Chaos, which is about 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of points everything out to the Illuminati, you know, and George W. Bush's complicity in it.
Right.
Barack Obama, you know, he's a cousin of Dick Cheney and Bush. That's the only reason we got a black man in the White House, if he is a black man. You know, he's a cousin. He's part of the same bloodline as the Bush and the Cheneys. So,
yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, it's like he's just a new front man.
New puppet. You know? He's the
Bloody.
Well, he would. I'll tell you this, if this helps you. Afterwards, there's a rating service now for people in the alternative media, and currently it's a ranking based on popularity and number of viewers and so forth. And it's got its own quantitative criteria. And currently, Alex Jones is rated number one in the alternative media, and Mike Adams, a personal friend of mine, is rated number two. Both of them did articles on my story. Both of them know about my story. Okay, they both. Alex Jones has got his website, prisonplanet.com, and of course, Mike Adams has got naturalnews.com. Both of them did articles on it. What an outrage it was. So you're in good company, and you're talking about people who already are familiar with my case, if not in depth, at least to some degree. So I think they'd have an open ear to it. And man, I got enough. I've got enough stuff to nail them. I mean, these people were so out of it that when they first attempted to kidnap me, the Ecuadorians were driving a car, and the license plate number was RYA003. So they ran a trace on it, and it was a vehicle owned by the United States consulate in Guayaquil. At the Port Azul over here in Guayaquil on Via a la Costa. They raided a friend of mine's home, and she had Ecuadorian. They had Ecuadorian policemen putting on black T-shirts with white letters here that said FBI. Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable.
Putting on FBI T-shirts. They're not even American citizens, let alone working for the FBI. Now this is how over the top it is. And by the way, those people would be willing to speak out because they've already signed renuncias.
Denuncias.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm willing to go public with it because I'm already public. It's not. It's like I'm not having to change my status in order to decide. Well, should I go public? Should I not go public? I'm already public, whether I like it or not.
It's a public record, man.
Right, right.
So, well, that's great. You know, let's do this. Let me hit him up tomorrow, man. Because if anybody would take this on, it would be Jesse Ventura.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
he's my guy, man. He's my favorite person, man.
Yeah, I so, like him a lot. For a guy of his status to make a decision to leave the country, you know, he's got to know some pretty gruesome. They got some pretty gruesome shit on the drawing board right now.
Yeah. Well, when you look at Out of Chaos, I'm going to send you the links to watch it. It's a little series. Yeah. It's on YouTube. At the very end, the Illuminati's claiming. You know, laying claim to Ground Zero. You can actually see that they did a live event on one of the anniversaries of 9/11, and the eye, you know, the ever-seeing eye of the Illuminati, they formed that at Ground Zero, guy. I mean, that's how plagued these bastards
are. Yeah.
So it's like, and you know, George W. Bush is reading this book about America upside down. He has it literally upside down. It's like down with America. Okay, and the kids at Booker T. Elementary School, Booker T. Elementary, I believe it was, they're reciting kite plane must hit steel. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
You didn't know that. I didn't know that until I did this little documentary. I go,
well,
holy
know,
shit.
I was allowed to be out of prison very briefly in the summer of 2004. In June of 2004, my wife and I went to see Fahrenheit 9/11.
9/11.
Yeah. And I saw something I'd never seen in a theater before, and I will probably never see it in a theater again. Here's what happened. In the opening scene of Fahrenheit 9/11, you got his aide, Andrew Card, coming up to him, and he's whispering in his ear. And they've got it timed, you know, right after the first thing hits. And he gives him this look, and it's unmistakable, and it's a look like, good deal, everything's right on schedule. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then he starts, you know, dicking around with that book or whatever he's doing there in the classroom. And then shortly thereafter, when the second plane hits, again, Andrew Card, his aide, comes up to George Bush and whispers something in his ear. And he, same thing, all right, way to go. And in that moment, this look on his face, you realize that he only then does he realize, wait a minute, I'm being videoed. And all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know if you've read Jonathan Sheridan book about psychopaths puzzling people, the labyrinth of the psychopath. That he talks about how psychopaths and all these people at the top, all these elite Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, they're all psychopaths. You don't, when you read Sheridan's book, you realize how you don't get to the top unless you are a psychopath. Anyways, he talks about channel changing, how they're able to change alter personalities. It's like he gets to this point where he stops and then he changes personalities, and it's like it's a totally different person that you see. Well, the most interesting thing is that in the theater itself, you see people turning to each other and the looks on their face, because the screen is bright, so you can kind of see. And it's almost like, did you see that? Did you see what I saw? Did you see that? I mean, even ordinary common people, you could tell that somehow, some way, he knew. He knew.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I've never seen that in a theater, and I doubt I'll ever see it again, where you actually have, you're actually experiencing a whole group of, because we were sitting in the theater, we were sitting toward the back, so we could see the people, and it's one of those things where it's curved, like you got the screen here, and then the seats are curved, and I'd never been at a theater before where you had this kind of collective conscious aha, where all the people in theater going aha at the same time, looking at each other, looking at people who are complete strangers to the right and to their left. I'd never seen that before.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that.
Well, definitely, you got to look at this first episode of Out of Chaos. I just sent you the link.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've got it here. I've got it.
You'll get a kick out of that, man. Just the opening minutes. I mean, and, you know, I disclosed the whole thing from this journalist that lays out the whole Nazi thing about the Bush family and everything else. So, you know, it's a pretty in-depth.
I've got it loaded so I can watch it later.
Check it out, man. And I will definitely be connected. See about getting you on there. So if you want to, if you can, send me a little blurb or something on your experience, basically in a nutshell, if you can say, look, boom, 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 a few points that I can present to them. And see what this is here.
That's that right there.
1, 2, and 4.
Yep, okay. That's it.
All right, good. I will... You know my word too, and I'll get back to Carvita tomorrow afternoon after.
I would have had everything out already as far as an HTML, but the guy that was the translator really screwed my wife over pretty badly, and now I'm having to go back and pay another $2,000 to have all my course transcripts and everything translated into English, so that I can provide the narrative of everything that happened, all in chronological order, all with links to all support documentation. And I should have had that done already, but now I'm waiting for new transcripts of, because the other ones were so bad of English, it would have been embarrassing to me and anyone connected with me. You either have professionally translated documents or you have someone that does a crappy job. So I'm having them redone by a real professional, and the narrative of everything that happened and everything in chronological order, and I'll have that out in about 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, well, that'll be good timing too. I think by then you might have something... going with the conspiracy theory, because this is right up their alley, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I met these cats, man, you know, they had me on the show, so I'll call them tomorrow first thing.
All right, good deal. Good deal. I'm gonna turn you over to Carlita. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. All right. Great. And I promise you, I'll get a hold of them, and we'll get something going for you.
Okay. Good deal. All right. Here's Carlita.
All right. Nice. Thanks, ma'am.
All right. I'm just here to say, wrap things up, and you know, hopefully this will come of something worthwhile for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. And this would be cool. That would be fantastic. And in the meantime, you and I will start planning, maybe do something with him too, so.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay, well, Jose, thanks so much for your time, and it was great that you met everybody down here.
Pleasure meeting them, and yeah. We'll talk again soon, all right? And Carlita, you just contact me anytime, you know that.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk soon. Take care.
God bless you. Well, happy New Year to you. God bless you.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, I never cared much for moonlit skies, never winked back at fireflies, but now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight by the mistletoe, but now when you turn the lamps down low, I'm beginning to see the light. I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark. That's a 4-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I'm beginning to see the light. Oh, I'm beginning to see the light.